Good morning, Western Wisconsin. Let's see what we're up to. This is Spectrum West, 6:30 after 10. It's a Thursday, the 5th day of December. Good to be back on Thursday mornings. A week since Thanksgiving already. Wow. And I think it's about time to freeze the leftovers. And I think you could just set them outside today. It's the holiday season in Wisconsin. What do you expect? Good show coming up today. We have a look at just some of the holiday fare that's waiting at various venues in western Wisconsin, from Dunn and Pepin counties to Rice Lake and Hudson and more. I mean, there's as many holiday shows and concerts as there are ornaments on the tree, but busy is good around the holidays. It can help us feel warmer, and hey, only a little more than a couple weeks before the days start getting longer again. There's something to celebrate. Today we're also going to give you just a little taste of an interview coming up on next week's show with the legendary Eddie Money, the rocker who has no intention of stopping, and he's coming to Eau Claire a week from Saturday, the 14th. I spent some quality phone time with Eddie yesterday, and we'll share it all next week. Yes, people and places are humming at this festive time of year, and there's no place humming louder than the headquarters of Volume 1, the magazine and online presence in the Valley, keeping us involved with and abreast of the music, arts, and culture of Western Wisconsin, what we attempt to do on the radio. Volume 1 provides a whole host of other media. Nick Meyer is a founder, publisher, and instigator of most things V1, and at our request, he stopped by the other day to provide a glance at all the fun at the One. You have made very good use of the space that you call your world headquarters, with exhibits and concerts and the store and movies, a bit of repast now and then.
We try to keep it busy and packed, especially now around the holidays. We want people to come in there and enjoy that historic building and bask in the glow that we've tried to create.
Was this all stuff that you imagined when you decided to move, or have you just rolled with it and did it?
Well, no, it was. I mean, the store now was the original vision, and the version that we had done before that was kind of a test out. And we knew that we wanted to have a gallery space that could be a multi-use space that could continue to elevate, different aspects of the arts and the culture of the Eau Claire and Chippewa Valley community through not only the products and things at the store, but seeing things live and in person that are sort of related to that store. Mm-hmm. Concert events with, for CD release shows and things. We have book readings. Yeah. We have film screenings. We have so many different sorts of things there all year round, but we really do amp it up quite a bit around the holiday season.
That brings me to a curiosity that I have about how you guys operate. I mean, you are a business. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the activities that you engage in more resemble people who are just out to have a good time. I'd love to sit in on one of the Volume 1 planning sessions that you have. I mean, I'm guessing that you have brainstorm sessions and anything and everything's on the table.
That's true. I mean, we don't get to do, even half of the things that we would like to do and maybe will do someday as we grow and evolve. But there's a lot of things you can do as a business just to make money, and that's really all those things are sometimes. Mm-hmm. And we try to have things that will support our endeavors overall in that business sense, but they really have to have a certain vibe to them, a certain ethos behind them, behind why we're doing them. And that's true in everything we do, whether it's a new printed or web publication, or it's the store, or it's an event that we create. It can't be there just to make money, or it doesn't feel real and authentic to us, and it doesn't feel that we're really adding to the culture of the community. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't really great cultural ideas and events and concepts that you create that could mm-hmm. support a business really well, because that definitely happens, but it's not the first rule for us.
Is the Volume 1 product more than you foresaw?
The product of Volume 1, meaning like just everything we
what
do?
What you are.
It is more, yeah. I mean, when we first started, the intention was just to make a printed publication for a while, and pretty soon it became obvious that you need to have a website. And then, the product of, when you think of Volume 1 as a product, I mean, there's the tangible thing that you hold, being the paper. But we think of ourselves as more of just kind of an action organization that just does a lot of stuff. The paper happens to be one of them. The website's one of them. The store is one of them. the events, the concerts that we produce outside of our gallery, and the film series and the art events and Chalk Fest and all those things that we do, it's all part of the product, which is just it's more of an idea and a vibe of what we want our community to be and actively participating in it in that way.
What limits do you set on yourselves? Because Volume 1 is now a brand. In order to expand and keep doing new things, are you going to have to come up with subsidiaries, or can Volume 1 just go through the roof?
Well, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, there are challenges to doing so many different things in a business sense. Most people are used to working with an organization. Like, if you're going to get something like a business insured, you know, it's typical, well, they do this. Well, we do so many things that people oftentimes don't know how to fit us into, you know, fit our peg into the square hole, so to speak. So when you go to a certain level, you have to start spinning some things off and having their own little companies that do certain things and specialize in those areas. And that gets kind of boring, you know, but it's all serving the vision of what we want done. So you have to slog your way through those sorts of things to make sure you keep having fun, that we're all doing the things that we think are important and that we're serving the community in as many different ways as we possibly can. But, you know, how far we can go with it is hard to say. I mean, you know, we're only limited by, you know, our own time, which is less and less as we all start to have families and have a lot of other priorities and things in life as well. But as long as we can, you know, keep supporting what we have already, we're always going to be reaching for that next thing and that next idea and taking ourselves and hopefully the community to that next place. I mean, we do have a big poster on our wall that we made when we moved into our new office that says we have a strategic plan. It's called Doing Things. And that's really what we always look at. I mean, we don't, you know, all these organizations in town and everybody does so much, so many different kinds of really good work, and everybody has to have their strategic plan and they go through their big planning process and spend all this time talking about what it is they want to do. Yeah. And really, we're just an organization who talks a lot less about what we want to do and just tries to do what we want to do.
And, you know, the interesting thing about you is you work with so many different people that you take on their characteristics. They're part of you, groups and the city and...
Sure. Yeah, we've had a lot of really great opportunities to work with the city of Eau Claire on different events, with Downtown Eau Claire Incorporated on different things. And a lot of that stuff falls in the event side of things, because it takes a lot of people to make things happen, like the concert series on the river and stuff like that. So we do seek out partnerships whenever possible, because we cannot possibly do everything that we do alone. You know, besides all the contributors and people who join our staff in producing the paper and the website and all those things, we do need other partner organizations, and we've got many other things in the fire that are developing too.
So the holiday season, beginning with Thanksgiving and, of course, rolling into Christmas, typically is a time when people sit back and they, first of all, give thanks, and then they say, you know, we're surrounded by a lot of good people. Yeah, that must run rampant in your life.
Well, it does. We are a group of people who really enjoy seeing a community, our community, evolve, and we do stop to talk about those things and take a step back and thank each other for who we all are and what we're all doing and analyze what we've done and what we want to do. We could always get a lot better at that. I think a lot of people could, and I think I'm definitely one of those as well, because I'm always so hungry to look forward to the next thing that I often sometimes will forget to stop and appreciate what we have. And so it's good to have that reminder this time of year and all times of the year as well. But yeah, and we don't sit still. We don't just stop and give thanks. We continue to keep ourselves, you know, ridiculously busy with all the things that we're programming at the store this time of year and everything else.
That's the voice of Nick Meyer. The way I have it written here is Volume 1 Honcho. I guess that's
fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, good. So December's a busy month. Man, you have things for kids. You have music. Mm-hmm. You have snack time. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, well, we brought last year. We started experimenting with how do we want to use the Volume 1 gallery inside the local store to keep the place busy and active throughout the holiday season. So we started a thing called the Jingle Jams series, which was basically creating a series in November and December every Friday and Saturday night that was sort of similar to the concert series in Phoenix Park on a much smaller scale, of course. Mm-hmm. So we have some really great musicians, a broad array of them that come in and do solo shows or group shows in the gallery for free, and people can have hot chocolate, they can shop, buy the music of those people and everything else. So we've got everyone from Sarah Kruger and Sean Carey, who's part of Bon Iver, the Rattlenecks, Billy Krause. We kicked it off with Acoustahoo and Hannah Connolly last weekend. So that's something that we brought back this year, and it's really fun. We pack it out in there.
Cool.
So that's been great. Also on Wednesday nights, we do kind of a holiday claymation classics. You know, those old classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman. We play those on the in the gallery.
See, that's high tech to me.
That is high tech. Well, that's the classic stuff right there. Everybody loves those.
Oh, yeah.
So we do that for the kids. And then also on Saturday mornings, we have a kids series where they can come in and hear local storytellers reading some of their books that we sell. There's a huge children's book scene in the Chippewa Valley, which I've always been really amazed by, both in illustrators and writers. There are so many locally produced children's books that are really quite good. So those people are in there, and there's also kind of a coloring contest for different ages. And of course, in the gallery all season is the ink and paper print sale.
Yeah.
So it's an art sale that has well more than 400 different prints, multiple copies of each print, very affordably priced, from more than 100 different artists, up on the walls and in the bins. And you can, it's a great way to give some local art for a gift over the holidays. It's not going in and buying an original piece for $400, $500, or $1,000. It's stuff that might be $20, $40. Just a lot of different kinds of printmaking that are for sale there. But the thing that's brand new this year that we're most excited about is our Let's Be Honest, a grown-up storytelling series. We're doing three nights of that. It starts December 5th and goes on also December 12th and December 19th. And it's a three-part installment, and we're planning to do this more later on. But it's a storytelling series where we take some of the area's kind of best writers and just best storytellers in general, and we put them on the microphone to tell personal stories live. And it's kind of part comedy, it's part serious. Each night has a theme. So on the 5th, it's the weather outside, stories of snow, sleet, and other winter perils. On December 12th, it's actually the kickoff event to the Eau Claire Improv Festival, which is a new thing that started last year. And there's a really growing improv scene in Eau Claire, which has been kind of neat to see evolve. And there's an actual festival that brings in acts from other places in the country and things now. So that night, it's the kickoff to that, and it's called Thinking on Your Feet, Stories of Quick Thinking and Impulse Decisions for Better or Worse. Mm-hmm. And then to wrap it up on Thursday the 19th is Holiday Heroics, Stories of Yuletide Successes and Holly Jolly Failures. You notice that everything in there adds, you know, something bad. There are things for better or worse, or, you know, successes or failures. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of our best stories in humanity are when things go wrong.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to
do. That's what we all want to hear. Well, that's kind of cool. Storytelling is popular all over. From the time the moth went on the radio,
exactly.
I mean, people are going nuts with
it. And that's the thing, yeah, that's what we're kind of trying to pattern this after, is kind of a localized version of the moth. Well, this is kind of our experiment, is to try this series 3 weeks in a row, just bang, bang, bang. And then we want to do something really big with this every other month starting in 2014. Where we maybe even have kind of a multimedia component, like a live radio show
produced in
front of you, which you certainly are familiar with, that would have also some video component and photos on the screen and sound effects and music and everything mixed in.
Yeah, I was going to say, as you were describing these people, I mean, it would be a shame not to record these stories.
Right. And that's something we hope to do live webcasts. We've done a lot of that from our gallery as well, when we've had major events and concerts and things, we'll broadcast live on our website at volume1.org right from the gallery, and you can just tune in and watch, and it's archived to watch later on. So we're hoping to do that in 2014 with this series and make it a web series as well.
Well, good on you for all this stuff. Let's switch gears and talk about the Confluence rally you had last
week. Sure, okay.
Red coveralls seemed to be the attire of the day.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Any comments on the state of the effort?
Well, it's an exciting time right now. I mean, you have another major local business in U.S. Bank stepping up with a $100,000 donation, and it takes those major step-ups to keep this thing moving forward. So you're seeing a lot of private individuals making their own commitments financially and in advocacy, and you're seeing major businesses step up, and I think you're going to see that more and more once we hit the new year.
And this really is something that people are watching from afar, because it's a partnership that hasn't gone to these heights yet.
Everybody has an idea of how stuff should be done. And this is a situation where it's really the best case scenario in a lot of people's minds, in that it's truly a very unique and trailblazing public and private partnership that could become a model, you know, for many organizations going forward. And as you say, I mean, they've been contacted by people from Florida and other places who are looking at how this is working and seeing how original it is. And even Governor Walker has attention on it and has said this is the kind of thing that they want to see, is these partnerships. You know, so it's a bipartisan sort of idea. You get people that are kind of extreme on both ends of it, but I mean, the people that tend to be down the middle are understanding that this is a smart way to proceed.
I don't know if it's human nature, but maybe Wisconsin nature or conservative nature is to consistently ask why. But to go back to the old Kennedy line, why not, is probably a good line to ask.
That's true. And you've heard the people involved with the project say exactly that. You know, if not this, then what? And if not now, then when? You know, what do we want to make happen as a community? This isn't just an arts move. This is an economic development move. Mm-hmm. Very, very much so. It's a proven economic development move in communities of all sizes, all across the country and even the world, that if the city can help create the platform for the private investment to take hold, you're gonna see that happen, and it's going to return dividends for years and years to come.
Okay, Nick, thanks.
Yeah, you bet. Glad to be here, as always.
Nick Meyer, the man resembles the medium, always active and full of good information. Couple things coming up at the headquarters that he forgot to mention, but made sure that I mention it later. Multi-talented author and other guy, Michael Perry, is going to be at the Volume 1 World headquarters next Saturday, the 14th of December, from 2 to 4 p.m., with his Sharpie, signing things, books, CDs, body parts. And then on Saturday, the 21st, from 1 to 3, it's Jim Radloff. He's that ragtime piano guy. All information you need is at volume1.org.
Support for WPR comes from Chippewa Valley Symphony. Seasonal music from Winter Wonderland to Sleigh Ride is featured in the Winter Jubilee Concert Saturday, December 14th at Gantner Hall. Details at 832-6366 or at cvsymphony.org. Support also comes from Wisconsin Credit Union, offering full real estate services from listing to selling properties. Current listings, mortgage calculator, and other information is online at wisconsinrealty.org.
Spectrum West, nice to have you along, warming up the airwaves today. The Red Cedar Choir has been a melodic mainstay in the Rice Lake area for many Christmases past. Sunday, the tradition continues as the choir and friends present their holiday vocal spectacular. The director of the ensemble is Beth Joston, and we caught her between classes just the other day. Although you direct the Red Cedar Choir, you also teach in the Cameron School District. Tell me about your duties there. What do you do in Cameron?
I am a choir director here and general music teacher, so my duties are grades 7 through 12. Uh-huh. And so I direct a middle school choir, 7th, 8th grade middle school choir of approximately 60 students. And then I have a high school concert choir of approximately 65 members, a high school women's chorale of 24 members, and a high school audition chamber choir of 34 members, and then also a high school vocal jazz.
Wow.
And then teach some 7th grade general music, too.
Well, with all those groups mentioned, I probably don't even have to ask this, but I'm going to anyway. I remember when I was in school, which is a long time ago, musical groups were popular and participation was healthy. Is that the case? Are young kids saying, yeah, I'm going to do music, that's fun?
Yes, very much so. We're pretty happy here in Cameron School District to have over half of the high school population is involved in either band and or choir. So it's quite a popular thing to do, and we're very proud of that.
Now, in the Red Cedar Choir, you have 60 members. That's good.
Yeah, we are up to 100 members this year for this concert. It's been a great response. People have just really turned out that enjoy singing. It's been just a lot of fun.
Participation is more impressive. I mean, given all the distractions we all have today, we keep hearing about how busy people are. But, you know, to be in something like the Red Cedar Choir, that's impressive.
It is. And it's just a chance for them to get out and do something that they enjoy doing. I think it's, for a lot of them, that's their stress release for the week.
Sure. What kind of a commitment is necessary to be a member of the choir? How often do you rehearse and that kind of stuff?
We rehearse once a week on Thursday evenings from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Most members are very diligent as far as their attendance at rehearsals. We rehearse approximately 11 times, 10 to 11 times before we put on our performance. Most of them are very good, maybe might miss one or two rehearsals at the most.
Sure. Are you aware of the history of the Red Cedar Choir? How long has it been around?
The group itself started back way in 1932.
Wow.
And then a club actually had their first Christmas concert, Vesper service, they called it, in 1937. Mm. So it's gone for quite some time. And eventually it was became a joint effort between the University of Wisconsin-Barron County. So it's a community university choir.
Oh,
and I'm
okay.
Not sure what year that came to be, but they eventually teamed up.
So it's comprised of students at UWBC and community members?
Correct. and we do have some high school students from the area as well that perform with us.
Okay. In addition to the holiday show, how many other concerts do you do a year?
We do one more. We do a spring concert, usually in April, and sometimes that consists of a large work, whether it be a mass or you know, any kind of a large work that way, and other songs interspersed as well. Last year we did a performance of all music by American composers, which was well received too.
Back to the commitment of being a member, is the prerequisite just that you love to sing? Do you have to read music or what?
No, it just the love of singing, just to come out and join in a, you know, a fun group. They register as community members, or they can register as students, obviously, if you're in college. They can take it for credit. The community members, it's a one-time fee of $10 for the entire year to participate.
Now, I see that on Sunday's program you have a group called the Bethany Brass.
That is a brass quintet that is associated with Bethany Lutheran Church, and they're going to be playing some prelude music and postlude music, as well as an interlude piece. And then I also have some of them, in addition to some other brass people, that will be joining us on one of our final pieces with the choir.
Okay. Our guest is Beth Jostin. She's on the phone. We're talking to her from Cameron. You have a big holiday show, at least two shows on Sunday. Tell us what's on the program.
Okay, the shows are at, or our performances are at 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock p.m. at St. Joseph's Church in Rice Lake. And our program is consisting of Christian holiday music, and we are using a variety of music that all focuses around the manger. And included in that, we'll do like a Prepare You by Mark Robinson. We are also, in honor of Benjamin Britten's centenary celebration, we are doing selections from his Ceremony of Carols, and that's going to be accompanied by harpist Heidi Jostin. And then we'll do some other songs, Some Children See Him, which is an old Alfred Burt carol, A Night of Silence with the Silent Night, and that'll be an audience sing-along, O Magnum Mysterium by Lauridsen, and God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, Audrey Snyder, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks, which is by Craig Courtney, Go Tell It on the Mountain by Lloyd Larson, and we'll finish with O Come All Ye Faithful, which is arranged by Frazier.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the accompaniment. You have a pianist who's playing with you, and of course the harpist. That name sounds familiar.
Okay, Heidi Jostin is my daughter, yes. She's a music major at UW-Eau Claire.
Okay.
And then our accompanist is fantastic, Chris Fritz. She has been our accompanist full-time with the choir for many years.
Admission is free, but you are accepting offerings if someone is so generous?
Yes. We do not charge admission for our concerts. It's just a free will donation at the door following the concert.
Okay. Beth Jostin, thanks so much for all the information. We've been brought up to date on the Red Cedar Choir, and keep up the great work in Cameron and Rice Lake. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Same to you.
The Red Cedar Choir, a time-honored tradition, helps make the holidays special once again. Sunday at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. That's in Rice Lake. Take your pick of performances. There are two of them at 2 and 4 p.m. Grammy-nominated Jazz Ensemble 1, UW-Eau Claire's proud group, Robert Baca's young UWEC musicians, perform Friday evening at 7:30, Gantner Concert Hall. Santa Claus is going to be at the University Bookstore at UWEC Saturday from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. All of Eau Claire is welcome. Believe me. The New Auburn Community Choir will sing their 2013 Christmas concerts Saturday at Chautauqua United Methodist Church, Sunday St. Jude's in New Auburn, next Saturday at Bloomer Assembly of God Church, next Sunday at New Scandinavia Lutheran Church, and that's in Dallas. Well, the one and only Eddie Money is coming to the State Theater on Saturday the 14th. This is one of those utter and unadulterated rock and rollers. Bunch of hits like Take Me Home Tonight, Two Tickets to Paradise, Baby Hold On, Walk on Water. And next week we're going to spend some time with Eddie from his buddy Paul's place in New York. He grew up in Brooklyn. I think the accent is even more pronounced today than ever. Here's a quick clip from our conversation. Try to forgive the fact that he mispronounces Eau Claire. All right.
Well, you know what? We got so many great fans up there in Wisconsin. You cannot believe it. You know what's? You know, when I'm into the Wildlife and the Batterbee, you know, it's like these craziest fans in the world. I wind up, you know, now that I'm sober, I wind up driving half of them home after the show. Eclair's a great little rock and roll town too, and it's really, you know, I love it up there in the summertime, but in the wintertime, we got a lot of friends. As a matter of fact, the promoter called me up. He must be an older guy. You know, he probably books like Tony Bennett and Barbara Streisand. Who's this guy, Eddie Money? He's got a bigger guest list than the Rolling Stones.
So not everybody knows how to pronounce Eau Claire. I mean, you didn't really expect Eddie Money to know French, did you? Next week, our conversation with Eddie Money here on Spectrum West. Well, this week's Oliver Report takes us west to Hudson and the beautiful, bountiful Phipps Center for the Arts.
The best Christmas pageant ever will be produced by the Phipps Children's Theater Thursday through Sunday, December 12th to the 15th, at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. Joining us by telephone to talk about the best Christmas pageant ever and everything else happening during the Christmas season at the Phipps is John Potter, the Executive Director. Welcome back to Spectrum West.
Thanks, Jim.
Well, before we get to all the other activities this month at the Phipps, and that website of yours is really crammed, let's talk about the best Christmas pageant ever. According to some research I did on the play, it's called The Worst Kids in the World in Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. So what is this play about?
Well, indeed, the worst kids in the world, the Herdman family, are interested in being in the church Christmas pageant. And the rest of the children are terrified of them. And the poor mother that is to direct the pageant that particular year takes it upon herself to include the Herdmans. And they do raise havoc, but because they see the Christmas story in a fresh light, they convey the message and the story of Christmas in a very real, emotional way. It affects everyone involved in the production and everybody attending the production. So it turns out that the potentially worst pageant is, in fact, the best.
Huh. So the Phipps is an amateur community theater. Is that right, or do you have some professional people involved?
That is correct. We are home to a community theater, which features amateur performers. We also have a children's theater, which features area students performing for family audiences. From time to time, and it's rare, we will have, say, a one-person show that will feature a professional actor.
Now, as I recall, in an interview you did on this program a year ago or so, you said that the actors are age-appropriate in these shows, the children's theater shows. Is that still the case? Or?
In the holiday production, such as the Best Christmas Pageant Ever, that is the case. Otherwise, the other shows are performed by students who will play both adults and children.
Mm-hmm.
But for the holiday shows in December, we do have age-appropriate casting.
Who is the director of the show?
John Nicholas Johnson is the director of pageant this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to the general story of the Phipps. You have said in the past that the Phipps is rooted in the community, and that's one reason why it's been successful for quite some time.
Indeed.
How did it all get started?
Back in the late 60s, there was a amateur arts guild. They called themselves the Valley Arts Guild, and they performed out of a little church in town. I think it was a 99-seat theater, and they had a small gallery space, and they offered classes and concerts, very similar to the programming of today. The William H. Phipps Foundation was a supporter of the Valley Arts Guild. And then they offered to build them a new home. In 1983, the Phipps Center for the Arts opened, and it was built as a home for the Valley Arts Guild, which within, I don't know, maybe 9 years later or less than that, merged with the Phipps Center. And the Phipps Center became a membership organization, and essentially has the same programming as they did back in the 60s. I would say that we simply do more of it and hopefully have raised the bar over the years. But the programming of the community theater and the children's theater, music series, we do have a restored Wurlitzer Theater pipe organ in the center, and we have a series on that. And then we have our own festival chorus, oratorio society, two dance companies, student dance companies. So those things are new, but very much in keeping with the spirit of the center.
As I said before, the website is rather full, as is the weekly news release that comes from your agency. So just give us a rundown of what's going to be happening this Christmas season.
The holidays are always a busy season here. We will have the Phipps Festival Chorus performing their annual concerts on Saturday, December 7th at 3 and 7 p.m. I mentioned the Wurlitzer Theater Pipe Organ will have a holiday concert by Jelani Eddington, a very well-known nationally and internationally recognized organist, on Saturday, December 18th at 2 p.m. And in addition, he'll be accompanying a 10-minute version of A Christmas Carol, which was made in 1910, I think. So it's a silent version. It has the entire story in it, told in 10 minutes.
Oh.
So don't blink.
Nip you. Or don't go take a trip outside. Or
exactly.
Yeah.
And then we'll also have our New Year's Eve shows. The Girl Singers of the Hip Parade are performing a brand new show called Broadway's Best. And it is a musical celebration of classic songs of Broadway musicals going back to the 40s right up to current day. So there'll be Rent and Wicked, Les Mis selections in there as well. And that will be on Tuesday, December 31st at 3 and 7 p.m. And then I have to tell you about the fantastic shows that are in our galleries right now. Traditionally, we offer a gift by the hand, which is in our gift gallery, and that has fine art and traditional crafts made by local artists and regional artists for sale specifically for gift giving. We have wonderful potter from River Falls, C.S. Rolfe, in a partnership exhibition with the Northern Clay Center. He has a show of functional pottery that is also quite beautiful, and that's in our atrium gallery when you first come into the center. And then we have a show called Historic Heat, which features 28 area artists who work in glass, and it's absolutely stunning.
Hmm. You mentioned the Broadway's Best. I mean, who are the singers?
Colleen Ray is the producer and director and originator of the group, and she is also a vocalist. Her sister, Debbie O'Keefe, is usually with the group, and she will be performing this year. And then Katie Garrity from the Twin Cities will be performing with them as well.
He is John Potter, who is executive director of the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. Well, how do you keep all of this stuff under control? There has to be some kind of elaborate organization that governs these activities and make sure that people aren't bumping into each other.
There is an elaborate organization, which some days works better than others.
Yes, well.
But we have, again, going back to the Arts Guild, we have what we call councils. And you could look at those as standing committees of the board. But one council is for the community theater, and it's entirely volunteers. The children's theater, the music, visual arts, and volunteers, and we think of the volunteer council as all of the supporting services, such as ticketing and front-of-house management, the ushers, mailers. So we have volunteers running all of these. The chairs of each of the councils then sit on a 15-member board, which oversees the governance of the center.
There are times when artistic freedom, be it visual or performing, collides with community standards, and I thought about that last year when my family and I were in New York City, and we saw a performance of the musical Jersey Boys, and it's the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, a rock group that comes from my era.
And the music was great, and I would have liked to have had my grandchildren see it, but the language was what some would call edgy, and others would call adult, and others call plain foul. So we hear similar kinds of stories about the visual arts. So who sets the community standards for the FIPS?
The center is a true community arts center in that volunteers are at the heart of our organization. So we have, a very clear sense of what is acceptable and what the majority of our audience would want to hear and see. Now, from time to time, we will feel so strongly about a piece of art or about a play that we're going to do it in spite of the language or in spite of the imagery that may offend some. And when that occurs, we try our best to get that information out, both in our promotion and our publicity, and then through signage on display at the center, to inform folks of what they're about to see or what they're about to hear, so that it's an informed choice on their part. I think back to the producers, which was last July. And it's a show that the Drama Council really wanted to do, and they did a great job of it and kept all of the language and all of the situations in it, which anyone is familiar with Mel Brooks will understand that that may be offensive to some. We tried to convey that message to everyone, and I think we did a successful job of it. So it really is a matter of making sure folks know what they're coming to see.
Yeah. The New Year is coming, and is there a season put together for next year in the theater yet, or are you still working on that?
Our season runs July through June, so we're right in the middle of our season right now, and uh-huh. We're working on the coming season even as we speak. I'm not at liberty to divulge anything at this point, but we'll soon be making that public.
What are the shows that are coming up in the remaining part of this season?
We have a production of Our Town in January, and then the Phipps Children's Theater will be producing Disney's Mulan in February, and the Community Theater will produce The Fox on the Fairway, a relatively new comedy by Ken Ludwig about golfing, as you might imagine, and that takes us through May.
Well, we've been visiting with John Potter, who is Executive Director of the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. The Best Christmas Pageant Ever will be produced by the Phipps Children's Theater. It's Thursday through Sunday at the Phipps. For a full rundown on what's happening there this Christmas season, you can check out the Center's website at www.thephipps.org. Well, John Potter, thanks for coming back to talk to us.
Thank you, Jim. I greatly appreciate it.
And thank you, Mr. Oliver. Another of the many holiday music programs coming along is Sunday at 2 p.m. in the Great Hall of the Memorial Student Center at UW-Stout, featuring the Symphonic Band under the direction of Aaron Durst. It's going to be a tuba solo, a classic called The Old Grumbly Bear. And this is a taste of The Old Grumbly Bear.
Support for WPR comes from the Chippewa Valley Theater Guild, presenting Winter Wonderettes, a holiday musical set in the 50s at Harper's Hardware Christmas Party, December 5th through 15th at Eau Claire's Grand Theater. Tickets are available at cvtg.org. Support also comes from Xcel Energy, actively involved in the communities they serve through support of nonprofit organizations, philanthropy, and volunteer work. Because there's more than one way to bring energy to a community. More at xcelenergy.com.
Spectrum Memo, Saturday at the Silver Dome Ballroom just west of Neillsville. Two bands, the Catfish Walker Band and Boom 42, will be playing. It follows the Army National Guard unit's formal holiday dinner, and the public is invited for the music portion of the evening. It's free. Music begins at 9 p.m. Chippewa Valley Jazz Orchestra presents Swingin' Into the Holidays Friday evening at 7:30 at the State Theater in Eau Claire. Saturday night, the state hosts the Ultimate Christmas Show. The Janet Carson Gallery at the Eau Claire Regional Arts Center hosts the Holiday Art Fair now through December 23rd. There's a reception next Thursday, 5 to 8 p.m. Hey, did you know you can give a kid a book at the L.A. Phillips Public Library in Eau Claire now through December 19th? Bring new unwrapped books to the library or to Charter Bank. This Sunday, you can bring books to the UWEC Holiday Concerts in Zorn Arena, and Books a Million is a drop-off point through December 24th. Saturday at the library, several local authors will offer book talks and book signing. Details at the library. UW Stout Symphonic Singers and Chamber Choir perform their winter concert 7 p.m. Sunday at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Menominee. Tickets are just $5, and they're available at the door. Well, two art venues and gathering places are getting together to present a cooperative exhibit beginning Saturday. Simply Done, The Place for Pottery by John Thomas and a lot more in Downsville, and the Acola Gallery in Durand team up to bring us Wisconsin Celebrates. We had a telephone trialogue the other day with Kathy Ruggles, representing Simply Done, and Jean Acola, speaking for her namesake location. First of all, I'd like to get to know each location. Kathy, Simply Done is, from what I've learned, kind of a combination of venues in a way. Tell us about the Oasis and the gallery and all the other stuff.
John has been making pottery in Dunn County for, it'll be 40 years next year, so we're pretty excited about celebrating that. In about 2000, we moved away from the creamery location and created our own little pottery place here, and it was just in a small farm shed that we sold the pottery, and we didn't really sell much else at first, and then we started branching out into a few local artists. Like, I've always carried jeans, prints, and cards, mm-hmm. and, you know, just a few items to pick up. In 2006, John and his dad came home looking wild-eyed and like, I'm thinking, uh-oh, and he said, Kathy, you'll never guess what we bought at a garage sale. And I said, what? He said, I bought a schoolhouse. So we moved it to the property. It's an octagonally shaped building. And we moved it here and put a foundation under it, restored the inside back to what it had looked like. So it's a huge open space, and it looks out over the river valley. It's just fabulous views. Now, that building we're using for a gallery for John's Pots and some mm-hmm. other local artists, and then it's also available for people to use for meetings, retreats, parties. We've had films there. We've had all sorts of classes there. It's just a wonderful space. It's pretty cool.
And in Downsville, that sounds like something a beatnik might say when he's telling you he is not feeling very well.
Oh, what a great name.
Yeah.
It was named after one of the founders of the town whose last name was Downs.
Let's jump over to Jean. The Acola Gallery, very warm, inviting. Tell us about the history and the concept of it.
Well, I actually started my gallery in the old railroad depot in Durand in 1985.
Uh-huh.
And then in 94, I bought my own building on Highway 25 that runs north and south through town. And it's an old 1929 Craftsman bungalow that I converted into a gallery,
mm-hmm.
And then did a facade enhancement a few years ago to basically bring it back to the Craftsman look that had been altered over the years. Well, the whole space is gallery, the whole main floor, and it's also a frame shop, and then the attic I converted into my studio.
Well, that's got to be cozy.
Very nice.
I read your new medium is expressionistic realism. Explain that to us.
Well, as an artist, it's always hard to describe what you're doing. I know musicians have that problem sometimes, too. And, Yeah, that kind of comes pretty close. I'm taking the subject matter that I'm comfortable with and love, which is nature and flowers and grasses and things like that,
mm-hmm.
and trying to become more abstract. When you've been a representational artist for, 30-plus years, it's not easy. You would think, you look at a Jackson Pollock and it looks like somebody just did some splashing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's actually a lot more to it than that. So, yeah, I'm making the transition towards a little more abstraction.
You know, for me, I would think that half the fun of being an artist, maybe not half, maybe a third of the fun of being an artist would be coming up with a cool name for what it is you do. Because there are so many categories and genres of art, it seems to me.
Right, but you're more of a writer, and, I'm not a word person. So maybe I need someone like you to help me out with that,
Al. Sure. Well, you just call me over, I'll take a look, and I'll say, this is it's a whole new category, Gene. We're talking with Kathy Ruggles, Simply Done, and Gene Akola from the Akola Gallery, and now I'll let you guys fight it out. Tell us about Wisconsin Celebrates. It appears to be a clever collaboration.
It runs from this Saturday, December 7th mm-hmm. through the 14th. We're open every day, 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. at both locations.
How far apart are they?
I think we're somewhere between 12 and 15. I think it's 12 miles,
Gene.
Yeah.
So it's just over the river and through the woods.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
Cool.
Actually, over two rivers.
Oh, well, cool.
Red Cedar and the Chippewa.
That's better. And you have a lot of amenities going along with it. Tell us about those.
We're doing quite a few different special events. One of the great things about the collaboration that Gene and I have had going on for the last couple years, and John, is, it helps us spark more creative ideas about how to promote our businesses, which are a little different. Which is good because, we're not really competing with each other, but we can share a lot in terms of our costs and our advertising ideas and then also our customer base
mm-hmm.
because they're going to be people that appreciate handmade things. So anyway, on Sunday, we're having a baking demonstration by Leslie Norris of Love and Butter Bakery, who's also one of our guest artists. This is How to Make Yulekaga, which is the Christmas bread. So she'll be doing that at 2 p.m. on Sunday. And then on Friday, we're having storytelling with the Paper Cow Theater. That's Chris Winter. That's going to be at 6 o'clock p.m., so we'll be staying open past the 5 o'clock time on Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
And that makes her make a scary laugh, but it's not going to be a scary story.
Good.
So, and then December 14th is our closing day, and, Al, part of what John and I want to promote is this schoolhouse as a community center so that more and more people will realize that they can use it for fun things. So we're having a cooking demonstration by Brett Laidlaw of Trout Caviar. He's going to teach about using foods that are fresh and seasonal in the winter, which is a little challenging for some of us. And then we're having the sliced bread jug band afterwards, and it's sort of just like a party at the end of the big, big open house schedule, and we eat up all the hors d'oeuvres that are still there, and I usually make a few other items. So that people can hang around and have a bite to eat and have a little party in the space.
Nothing like leftover hors d'oeuvres, I've always said.
Well, there'll be fresh hors d'oeuvres from that day.
Oh, I know, but I'm more of a leftover guy, so I might show up late. Now,
okay.
Kathy's had the luxury of being able to name drop a man in her life, so Gene, you have a man who entertains, and I think he's going to be part of this, yes?
Yes, of course, Yada.
Mm-hmm.
Yada. We're having something new that this year during our open house, and it's called Date Night.
Ah.
And not that it has to be, like husband and wives, but it basically friends can have a date with each other as well. And so that's Thursday, December 12th. Starts at 5 o'clock. Right when you get off work, come on over and have some wine and hors d'oeuvres. Yada will be entertaining us from about 5 until 8.
Cool.
And we'll have specials and a lot of new art and gifts for people to check out, maybe consider a joint gift to each other.
Wow. You guys have all the bases covered. Now, you have your own separate websites. Is there a website for Wisconsin Celebrates?
There is. It's wisconsincelebrates.com. And then mine is thecolagallery.com. And
ours is simply-done.com, and that's done like the county,
D-U-N-N.
Clever stuff. Well, you guys are doing your part to make the holidays merry and bright. We thank you for that, and I thank you for being with us on Spectrum West.
Well, thank you very much, Al, and Merry Christmas to everyone.
Yeah, thanks, Al. This is really fun.
Wisconsin celebrates. Simply Done in Downsville, the Acola Gallery in Durand, a week's worth of stuff to do and see, all beginning Saturday.
Here's what's on stage in Western Wisconsin theater venues. The Chippewa Valley Theater Guild production of Winter Wonderettes plays through Sunday at the Grand Theater in Eau Claire. A Christmas Story plays through Sunday at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. The show runs weekends through December 29th. A Christmas Story is also being staged Friday, Saturday, and Sunday by the Menominee Theater Guild at the Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts in Menominee. The UW Eau Claire Department of Music and Theater Arts will present Ye Old Madrigal Dinner Friday and Saturday at the Ojibwe Ballroom of Davie Center at the University. The Reduced Shakespeare Company will present The Ultimate Christmas Show Saturday at the State Theater in Eau Claire. Public performances of Annie Jr. will be staged Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Old Gem Theater in New Richmond. Don't Hug Me Christmas Carol plays Friday and Saturday at the St. Croix Off-Broadway Dinner Theater in Hudson. The show runs weekends through January 4th. The St. Croix Art Barn of Osceola and the Space Center for Creativity in New Richmond will present a musical radio production of A Christmas Carol Friday and Saturday at the Space in New Richmond. The show will also be staged Sunday morning at Christ Lutheran Church in Marine on St. Croix, Minnesota. A Carol of a Christmas will play weekends and selected weekdays at Fanny Hill Dinner Theater in Eau Claire. The show runs through January 12th. And that's some of what's happening in live theater around the region. I'm Jim Oliver.
What a guy. Thanks, Jim. Spectrum Memo. At the Heidi Center in Chippewa Falls, the North Winds British Brass Band performs Saturday afternoon at 3, and the Jail Bailers Christmas Dinner Show is next Tuesday the 10th. Tuesday, there's also a reception from 4:30 to 6:30 in conjunction with the art exhibit up during December featuring artists of the Hugh Mandelaert Arts Society. Stuff for the Heidi is available by phone at 726-9000, online at cvca.net. Saturday, it's Country Christmas at the Spring Street Arts Building in Stockholm. It's Danville Folk and Guys on Ice, Sunday at 2 p.m. at Central Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. Sunday at 2 and 5 p.m., the annual holiday concerts at UW Eau Claire featuring several choral and music groups. Don't forget the second annual Eau Claire Improv Festival is Thursday, December 12th. That's a week from this broadcast through Saturday the 14th at 3 Eau Claire locations. We'll tell you more next week. Thanks to Tiffany Coggins, Rachel Vick, for all you do to help Spectrum West get the word out. Thanks to all our guests. Thank you guys for being here next week. In addition to a classic chat with the classic guy, Eddie Money, news about the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra, and more. I'm Al Ross. Thanks for being here. See you next week.